may be used to amen or something like that, we say yay. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And before we get started with that, I want us to have a moment of prayer for Wanda Clinney and her two sisters, Davina and Pauline. Their mom passed away yesterday. And, you know, Wanda especially has lost Dub. She's lost her dad, and now she's lost her mom. And I kind of understand that kind of loss. And so they're going to be making arrangements today. So if you would remember to lift up those three sisters and just a long, not battle, but long stay in a nursing home and all the issues that go with growing old and then having to say goodbye. You're never ready. You know it's best sometimes, but you're never ready. So let's pray for that family right now. Father, I lift up Wanda and Pauline and Davina, and I pray that you would be with them, and Lord, that you would comfort them in their pain. And Father, I pray that they would remember the wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And goodness, I don't know where we would be if we didn't have that hope. And so, Father, even today, as they plan to make arrangements and do those things, be with them and help them to realize your love. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have one more Sunday in the book of Ecclesiastes. So I know you're just tearing up just thinking about leaving this wonderful book. I hope you have enjoyed it. I've learned a lot through it all. And it's a book that is just very practical. And today I want us to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 7 through 10. And the title of my message is Live Like You're Dying. Now, my wife informed me my grammar was not correct. It should be Y-O-U, apostrophe E-R. That's what happens when she doesn't proofread and I get it up there. So Jackie didn't catch it, but it's my fault because that's what I did. I was in a hurry and I put your. I knew what I meant, but I just want you to know that she is a literature person and she informed me that my grammar was incorrect. And I can say this, it's not the first time that she's done that. And it will not be the last time. And I got this live like you're dying from just sitting there thinking, okay, how do I express to you as believers that life is meant to be enjoyed and no challenge is too big, and some of us just need to wake up, smell the coffee, and live. We get to where, especially right now, we're so confined by we might die and COVID. I'm going to say it again. There's no might die in it. You're going to die. Every single one of you are going to die. We need to understand that, okay? COVID, if it's not COVID, as a matter of fact, today it's been kind of an interesting day because it's my mom's birthday. It's my first birthday without my mom. And my mom did everything she could. Well, they actually kept her protected and did everything to stay alive, and she still died. And I'm not saying don't take care of yourself, but here's what I am saying. Every single day is a gift. And one of the problems is, as believers, I think people look at us and they go, gosh, you guys are boring. You don't ever laugh. You don't ever have fun. And who would want to... The Jesus you have looks like he's been sucking on a lemon or something. And that's not biblical, especially when we look at this passage this morning. Solomon is coming to the end of his journal. He's sharing with us his insights, especially as he looks at growing old. And I want us to look at a guy that used to be president. He's now deceased. And I think he embodies what it means to live life to the fullest. So we're going to look right up here. Somebody maybe get the lights for me. Callahan, can you run back there and get the lights? I cried when I watched this, I'm ashamed to say, but it kind of tore me up a little bit. I want you to hear the whole thing.
Let's take that out.
Oh, no. Oh, God. That looks a little rough.
He was coming in way too fast. Dear Gabby, happy birthday.
Love, Ben.
Yeah. Good job.
That's nice.
How'd you feel?
Cold.
Did they have to push you out?
No, I got confused. They did all the work.
Where is he? Our hero.
I watched that, and I couldn't help but get a little emotional just because I love the family love between all the Bushes, to be quite honest. And I was kind of looking it up, and it was interesting because that young man, I think when he retired, when Bush retired at 75, I think he said every 5 years he would do these jumps. And there's one at 75 and 80 and 85, and that one was at 90 years of age. And he is confined at this point to a wheelchair. But guys, doesn't that exhibit living to life to its fullest? And the love of his family and the support of his family, and I love that. Because I believe as Solomon looks towards the end of his life, he was saying to you and me and every other follower of Christ, live life to the fullest. I was trying to decide what to call a sermon, so live like you're dying was a phrase that is used where people say, hey, I'm gonna pull it all out and live and not worry and enjoy life and because tomorrow I might die. And you know, a lot of times when someone finds out they have a terminal illness, they will seek to do those things that they have never done before. They try to get it all in before they leave this world. You know, there's all kinds of words to describe someone who loves pleasure. There's a hedonist. That's a person who just pursues pleasure and recklessly does so. But what we see here, I think, this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, are some very, very practical verses about living. So look with me, beginning with verse 7. He says, light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. I mean, it's a little poetry there, and basically what he is saying is, how sweet to see the sun come up. The older I get, I understand how important that is. When you get up and you see a beautiful sunrise, man, God is about to give you another day to live. What you do with that day is up to you, but he's given you a gift. Light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, now listen to this advice. When people live to be very old, and I'm not going to define very old. I used to know what very old is, but I'm kind of hearing my name mentioned in senior adult circles. I don't know if I am one or not, but I'm not going to tell you what very old is. But he says, when people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life, But let them also remember there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. And then look at verse 9. Young people. He's not talking to adults anymore. He's talking to young people. I can't even define young people. I'm just going to say from birth till you become an older adult. I don't know when that stops and begins. Young people, it's a wonderful thing to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember, he gives a little accountability, but remember, you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. But remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless. So let's look at some things that are important. And I hope that you will leave this place. Maybe go take a parachute jump. I don't know. I don't particularly want to do that. But the first point is this. Don't stop rejoicing. Don't stop rejoicing. Psalm 118 verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad in it." You see, what he is talking about here as he looks towards the end of his life, and when he talks about being an older person, he is talking about himself. He says, as I look at life, one of the things I need to remember is that it is good to be alive. Every day when the sun comes up is a good day. It only becomes a bad day depending on what you do with it. Every day is a good day. And so seeing the sun comes up means you have another day to enjoy life. And a lot of other scriptures refer to God as light and a day and warmth. And so the picture here is that every day is a gift from God and we have a good God. And it's an awesome thing to understand, whether you're an old person or a young person, is that God gives us permission to enjoy life. It says, when people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. He is reminding them in verse 8 that every day you need to have fun. You need to rejoice. You need to laugh. Why is it that the world knows more about what the church is against than it knows what we're for? And they need to see as one of the things that we're for in our lives is enjoying life. You know, Christians ought to have the ability to do that in anything they do. We had a work day up here. We worked our rear ends off. Can you say that? I don't know. Just said it. We worked our rear ends off. I was tired last night. Because we're excited about moving forward as a church and changes for the youth and changes for the children. And so people came on their day off and we got up here and we worked and we had fun. And man, we were finding antiques everywhere. Stuff that has been in this church in rooms that are shut down that no longer have been used. And they were like antiques. I was like, oh my goodness, what is that? But we had an absolute blast working. And that's kind of the picture I see here, is that every day is a gift, whether you're old or whether you're young. Live it to the fullest for Jesus Christ. But the danger for every single one of us here this morning is apathy. You see, the longer you become a Christian, the danger is the more apathetic you can be about life, and even your Christian life. In other words, you just start doing church. And it's like I said last week, and I keep quoting Mark Batterson. He says, quit living as if the purpose of your life is to arrive safely at death. Don't make it your goal to die safe. I don't even understand that terminology. Live life. Don't be a fool. But live life and live it to the glory of God. It's easy to get in ruts. But I don't think, if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, I don't think he ever got in a rut. He was a person who did everything he could to make a difference every day that he lived. And Psalm 118, 24 ought to just ring in us every day. This day, regardless of what else happens in the world, this day is a gift from God. We need to rejoice in it and be glad in it. God gives us permission to enjoy life, and I am sure glad of it. And we need to understand, though, that you know, he says kind of a strange thing. Look at the last part of verse 8. He says, he's putting reality in here. He says, but let them also remember there will be many dark days. Now, what in the world is he talking about? There are going to be many dark days. Life is pictured in the scripture as light. Death is pictured in the scriptures as black and dark. Here's what he's saying, I believe. Everyone in this room, you know, is going to live 75 plus years. You know, we're in that category. I think we're now have people living to be 100 and something and all that. But, you know, we're basically told 70 years. Here's what he's saying. I think he's just practical. He's saying you're going to be dead a lot longer than you're going to be alive. And because you're going to be dead a lot longer than you're going to be alive, live life to the fullest. Don't waste a day. Live every day to the fullest. And when you do that, you live a full life. Now, I'm going to ask Lynn to come up here. This woman is one of my favorite people. Well, of course, all of you are my favorite people. But her attitude is what I always love about Lynn. So you all know Lynn. If I say Lynn, I'll tell you, Lynn, I'll tell you this. You wanted the men to wear masks in this church, and I went one Sunday and I said it. You don't know this, but the next Sunday, nearly every single man in this church had a mask on because they love you. Share with us what you got.
Celebrating life as an older person. I figured he'd tell you my age, but he didn't. He asked me, I'm 88 years old. Thank God I'm still here. And I thank God for his help and strength he gives me every day. I enjoy life. First, it's the condition of my heart. And next, it's my attitude about life. I enjoy being outside in God's beautiful world. It's so wonderful to get out and experience God's creation, and I enjoy it every day. So when I get out there in that beautiful world, I go fishing. That's what I love to do. And of course, if you've known me very long, you know I like to fish. I said we have fished up to 6 days a week, and I enjoyed every day of it. But anyway, I go prepared. If you don't believe it, look in the back of my car. I've got my two Zebco rods and reels, and they've got jigs on them, ready. And I've got my jig box in case I lose one, I can tie on another one. I have a knife, a pair of wire pliers, fishing license, permanent, had them for a long time. All colors and shapes of jigs. I've got my life jacket, and I've got a 5-gallon bucket. In case I catch a fish, I gotta have some place to put it. And out there, I can forget the cares of this world for just a little while. There's been a lot of sadness lately, and all of you know. 2 years ago, it's 2 months tomorrow that Gene passed away. He went to be with the Lord, and I praise God for that. But if I catch a fish, I'm thrilled. I do. I just love to catch fish. And if I can get it in the bucket, I just thank God for lunch today. And I never tire of fishing. I've never been tired of fishing. Never. And when I'm there, that's all I concentrate on. I mean, I'm sincere when I go fishing. I enjoy fishing. I just enjoy fishing. I sure enjoy catching them. But then next is the benefit of all my effort. I go home and I learn to clean them. I don't like that part, but I learned how. And then I cook them and eat them. And then one of the good parts is I invite friends to come and eat with me and family. I wrote a funny little fishing poem. It's real silly. But anyway, it's called I Have Fun Fishing. Just can't wait to get to the dock to bait my hook and watch it drop. Hoping for a nibble and get the jerk. So much fun, but that's not work. I got a fish on my hook. That's lots more fun than reading a book. Oh, my fish got away. I said, fishy, I'll be back to catch you another day. And I just wanted to praise God today for my health and the strength that He gives me to do these things that I enjoy. And I thank Him for my precious family. And I thank God for this church, your love and support, and how you've supported and prayed for us during Gene's illness and passing. And now he's going to be with the Lord, and I praise God for that. Thank you.
In every fish home, there's a picture of Lynn Howard, and it says, beware. She won't give up till she catches you. You have a choice in life, especially when you get older. You can sit around and be bitter, do nothing, and wait to die safely. Or you can go fishing. And then you can share your fish with people. And that embodies, I think, what Solomon is trying to say is every day's a gift. Live it to the fullest. Enjoy it. But then the second thing he talks about is the young people. And it's basically the same thing. I phrased it different. Enjoy every minute of your life. Listen to it again. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. But remember that youth, with a whole life before you is meaningless. Now, one of the things God's saying once again here is enjoy life. God is not a killjoy. People again think, oh, I don't want to be a Christian. They never have any fun. And part of that is because that's the way the world has seen us. We don't laugh. We don't have fun. And that's a sin. And he's saying to young people, enjoy every bit of your life. And every day you have, whether you're young or whether you're older, you have a choice. What am I going to do with this wonderful gift that God has given me? Now, here's the way it is with young people. Young people think, well, when I get in grade school, I'll be happy. And then they get in grade school, and then they get about fifth, sixth grade. Well, if I could just be in junior high, I would be happy. And then they think, well, if I'm really going to be happy, it's going to be in high school. And then they get in high school, and they think, well, when I get my driver's license, then I'll be happy. Or when I get a girlfriend or a boyfriend, then I'll be happy. And then they think, well, if I go to college or I get a job, then I'll be happy. Or when I get married, I'll be happy. Or when I have a couple kids, I'll be happy. And then if the kids will get out of the house, I'll be happy. And And it just goes on and on and on. And they are never happy because they're always looking to that next stage of life. And one of the things that Solomon, I think, is trying to teach us is don't grow up too fast. All you teenagers that want a job, I mean, you're going to be working the rest of your life. I had one from the time I was a kid. My dad had the place, and there's nothing wrong with that. But some of you think the ultimate goal is to have a paycheck. Let me tell you something. It's good to have a paycheck, but it's not the answer to life. Every part of your life is to be enjoyed, whether it's in grade school or junior high or high school or out of school. Don't waste a minute. Don't think if I just had this, if I just did this, that I would be happy. And here's another thing. Don't always stay in a box. He says in there, do everything you want to do. The English Standard Version says, follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. And what he's saying is dream a little. Follow your dreams. Have some dreams. My goodness. When I was growing up, I had dreams. Now, a lot of them didn't come to fruition. I wanted to be a professional tennis player. I'm here this morning, and I'm not playing. I wanted to be one. I had a dream. It's okay to have dreams as long as you understand that little part of accountability. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to enjoy life as long as you remember you're accountable. And that's one of the things he talks about that. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. That's not for God to become a killjoy in your life. It just reminds us we are to live responsibly for God. Enjoy life. But when you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, people, because we've been studying it over many weeks, we forget the teachings that are in there week after week. Let me just give you a few reminders. Chapter 2, verse 24. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and satisfaction in work. Then I realized pleasures were from the hand of God. Pleasures are a gift. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 13. And people should eat, drink, and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. Chapter 8, verse 15. So I recommend having fun, because there is nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life, that they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. Chapter 9, verse 17. Go ahead, eat your food with joy, and drink your wine with a happy heart, for God approves of this. Verse 8. Wear fine clothes and a splash of cologne. It's okay to like clothes and dress up. Enjoy life. In verse 9, live happily. Get this. Live happily with the woman you love. God says enjoy marriage. Some of y'all act like it's a curse. Enjoy marriage. Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Now, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you can't help but understand that we are to enjoy life. When you go to lunch today, enjoy lunch. Maybe that's why Baptists eat all the time, and we have potlucks, and we miss those, and Wednesday nights, we eat, and it's okay. Now, you need to remember, you need to not be gluttonous. You're held in account for that, but too often, as I said, the church is known for what they're against instead of what we are for. And God is for us enjoying the gift of life. But, like it says in verse 9, but remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. You are accountable. As a believer, you're not called to just live a reckless life. You're accountable. And we need to understand that God is not doing that to ruin us, but He's trying to keep us from ruining ourselves. Man, God is not condoning just do whatever you want. But He also says in there to young people, the number one thing that will rob you of joy is worry. He says, so refuse to worry. Listen, you can have the gift of life and ruin it by worrying about stuff that will never happen. You know, most of the things, and I'm going off my memory, which is dangerous, is that 80% of what you worry about never happens anyway. So you worry, you worry, you worry, and you never enjoy the day, when in the truth is, it never is going to happen, but you worry about it. So how do you fight worry? Well, you fight worry by prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In other words, pray. Maybe you're missing the joy of today because you're worried about what might happen tomorrow. And if you're worrying, I can almost guarantee you, you will not enjoy today and you will not enjoy tomorrow. So what do? You pray. You pray about those things that you worry about. He also talks about keep your body healthy. He's talking not about just physical health. He's talking about spiritual health. He talks about keeping evil from your body is a literal translation. So in other words, take care of yourself spiritually. Take care of yourself emotionally. Enjoy life because it's a gift from God. But I really believe that you got to go to the New Testament to be able to understand how to really enjoy life. And turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 11. And this has become clear to me the days that we've lived this last year with all the fear of this and that and worried about dying. And we're not to worry about dying. We are to understand that we will never totally die when we understand and believe in the truth of Jesus Christ. You see, I believe the reason I could jump out of an airplane is because I know that if the ripcord didn't work or something failed, this isn't it. I believe one of the reasons I can be here this morning and enjoy worshiping God and enjoy fellowship, knowing that one of you might be carrying that virus, is because I do the best I can, but I worship and I live, and if I die, I win. We have made dying losing. Now, I'm not wanting to go right now. I'm enjoying this woman. I'm enjoying my kids and a grandkid and another grandkid on the way. But I'm telling you, in the last year, because of all this fear and all this stuff going on, I've had to work through in my own heart, in my own life, about the what ifs. And the what ifs have taught me that if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, if I believe in Jesus, the what ifs don't matter anymore. Listen to what it says in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will what? Live. Even after what? That is a question. Dying. You will live even after dying. Then he says, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never what? Die. And then he says, do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? It's not a question of whether Jesus lived, because history shows us that. It's not a question of whether Jesus died. We know that he died. He was crucified. History shows us that. The real question, I think, that allows you to live life to the fullest is the understanding that he died for you so you don't have to die forever. Because of Jesus Christ, you have the ability to live even though you physically die. And every one of us will physically die. But the gospel, the good news, is that if we place our faith in Jesus Christ, death does not win. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. Now, people, that doesn't happen by osmosis. You can be a good person. You could have been raised in church. You may even be a church member. You maybe have been baptized, dunked, whatever. But here's what I want you to understand. That does not save you. Only believing in a person named Jesus gives you life. You say, well, how does that happen? How does it happen when I say that little prayer? Well, if you don't mean that little prayer, you just said a meaningless prayer. When it happens is when you believe, like I showed the kids a couple weeks ago, when you believe enough to sit in the chair, when you believe enough to give Him your life, then you have eternal life. It's everything to believe in Jesus Christ, and you don't have to worry about death. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10, one of my favorite verse about enjoying life, and it's not talking about enjoying life, money, wealth, and all that stuff. In verse 10, it says, the thief's purpose, talking about Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus said, you need to understand my purpose for your life. My purpose is to give them a rich, not meaning financially rich, giving you a rich and satisfying life. That is the goal, to enjoy life. And then when you enjoy this life, going to heaven is better. So if you're having a good time now, the future's even better. But just like Jesus said to Martha, I'd say to you, do you really believe that? Have you ever placed your faith in a man named Jesus? And if you have, there's a joy unspeakable. There is hope, there is future, and death is simply graduation day to better days. I started to do this, but I didn't have a time to do it. But when you go home, I'm not a country and western fan. How many of y'all listen to country western music? Yeah, I don't. But there's a guy named Tim McCraw, and he has a song called Live Like You Were Dying. And it's a real interesting story because it's written from the perspective of someone in their 40s who got the call that they were dying from the doctor. And it comes really, if you look at who wrote it and all that, it comes from a true example of life. And it's about a son talking to his dad, and the dad's advice is, if you're living like you're dying, do some crazy things that you've always wanted to do. Jump out of an airplane. Do something. And he gives these list of things. You know, climb a mountain, ride a bull. Love your wife better. Read the book. It's a great song. It just was too long. Greg and I looked at it and it was too long. I didn't have time. I'm long enough as it is. But here's the thing. You're dying. Live. Do some of those things. I'm not going to mention any names. Somebody told me, said, well, I'm going to start playing an instrument as an older person. I said, go for it. Don't feel like that's crazy. Do it. Man, life's short. You're here. You got breath. Do something great for the Lord. Enjoy life. That's what it means to live like you're dying. You are dying. Live life to the fullest. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that we do not have to fear death, that we can live life to the fullest, knowing that if death comes, whether by accident or disease or whatever, that we have eternal life, and it's better than the life on this earth. Help us to understand the only way to have that life is through a personal relationship with you. That's the most important thing about life. is knowing you. And Father, the challenge for First Baptist Mount Ida is that we would show the world we can fish more and have fun and do fun activities and serve you more and enjoy life, that we're in this to enjoy. Help us, the church, to be that kind of example. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.